Today's daf is Erevin daf Nun Beis, the last daf of the fourth parak of Maseches Erevin. We left off on daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, three lines before the end of the page. In this last daf of the fourth parak, we're going to discuss somebody who makes an Erev Tchumen, whether he's allowed to walk. We know he's allowed to walk 2,000 amos from his Erev, but is he allowed to walk 4 amos plus 2,000 amos? Does he get a makom shvis of dalet amos as if he were there? Certainly if he's there, he gets a makom shvis of dalet amos. But what if he makes an Erev Tchumen with food and he puts food there? Does that give him 4 amos in addition to his 2,000 amos? Then we're going to have a Mishnah on Amaral that's going to discuss a case of a person who begins to travel to another city before Shabbos, but then he changes his mind and he goes back home. So we're going to have a machlokas tanaim, whether his Erev can be considered to be established between the two cities, even though he never put an Erev out there. He began to travel, so is that considered that as if he made the declaration that he's being konash visa at a landmark between the two cities? And we're going to discuss the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda that doesn't appear in the Mishnah, and then in the Mishnah, we're going to have two Mishnahis and Amud Beis to finish off the parak. The Mishnah, the first one in Amud Beis, discusses someone who left his tchum and how far does he have to go out of his tchum for us to say that he's not allowed to come back in. And then the last mission in the parak is going to discuss a person who didn't make it within the tchum of his city by the time Shabbos started. How close does he have to get to the tchum of his city to be able to walk back into his city when Shabbos starts? But first let's finish up the discussion we were having from yesterday. We had a machlokas tanoim in the Mishnah whether only an ani is allowed to verbally make a place as makom shvisa by saying shvisasi b'makom ploni, by designating a specific place as his makom shvisa without actually putting any food out there, or even an usher can do this. Is this something that's a special dispensation for an ani because an ani doesn't have that much access to food, or even an usher is allowed to make a makom shvisa verbally? So the Gemara has a machlokas amorayim as to what the case is in that machlokas tanoim. We had yesterday the Rav Nachman holds the machlokas is bimakomi. The machlokas is when he tries to make the Erev where he is right now. But if he's designating a landmark as his Erev, I want to make my Erev in such and such a place, then everyone would agree that we'd only allow that for an ani. That's a significant kula. That we're only going to allow for an ani. We would never allow for an usher. That was Rav Nachman's opinion. Rav Chista says, no, machlokas b'makom ploni. The machlokas is when he tries to designate a landmark, a place that's far away from him, for as his makom shvisa. But if he's making the place that he's currently standing as his makom shvisa, then everyone would agree, rich or poor, you're allowed to do that. You don't need to use food. You're ma'ariv baraglav. There you are. So that is your makom shvisa. So that's the machlokas, Rav Nachman and Rav Chista. And we had two brises that supported the shita of Rav Nachman. The first shita, the shita of Rav Nachman, that the machlokas is bimekomi, but when you verbally designate makom ploni, for sure, only an ani is allowed to do that. So the Gemara tells us, actually, we're up to the last line of Nun Aleph and Beis. Rabba Bar Rav Chanan have a ragel da asi ma'artivna lepumbatisa. Rabba Bar Rav Chanan would frequently come on Shabbos from artivna to pumbatisa, and Rashi adds vayoshev erev Shabbos bebeso varmashvisasi bitzinta makom mesuyim hayabein shneat chumin. Right, and he would be there in his house on erev Shabbos, and as the Gemara continues, amar te shvisasi bitzinta. And from his house, he would say, let my makom shvisa be in this place that's between these two cities that I like to travel to on Shabbos. So he would verbally designate a makom shvisa. So Amalei Abaye said to him, what gives you the right to do that? My daiteich, Rameir Rabbi Yehuda Alach Rabbi Yehuda, Vam Rav Chista Machlokas Makom Ploni. Are you assuming that in the Machlokas in the Mishnah that we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda, that the dispensation is not only for an ani, that even an usher can verbally designate a makom, and B, that the Machlokas, the entire Machlokas, is when you're designating a landmark, but it's certainly not when you're bimakoma, when you're actually being ma'ariv baragla. The whole machlokas is when you're designating a place from a distance, which is what you're doing. So you must be assuming, like Rav Chista, and the Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're allowed to do this, even though you're an ashir. But Rav Nachman v'Tanya kavasei, how could you? I have no problem with you passing like Rabbi Yehuda, but how can you passing like Rav Chista in the machlokas amoraim? What the case is of this machlokas machlokas tanoim, whether the machlokas is b'makomi or the machlokas is makom ploni, how could you pass like Rav Chista? We just got through yesterday two brises that support Rav Nachman. So why would you pass like Rav Chista? So I'm like, how'd you be? He says, okay, I changed my mind. You're right that I changed my mind. I won't do it anymore. So he, at the end of the day, passes like Rav Nachman. So even though he would establish an error verbally relying on Rav Chista's understanding of Rebuda's opinion, that even an Ashir can establish a Makom Shvisa without actually being there, once Abaye pointed out that we have Brises that support Rav Nachman's understanding that all Tanoim agree, an Ashir cannot establish an Erev from afar, so Rabbi Rav Chanan changed his mind from his original Psak, and he wouldn't do it anymore. Period. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Hare Amru Shabbos Yesh Lo Dalet Amos. So we said that someone who is Kona Makom Shvisa, he gets Dalet Amos, he's allowed to walk 4 Amos, that's considered his Makom, and then he gets 2,000 Amos around that Makom, that's his Tchum Shabbos. Hanosin Eseruvo, Yesh Lo Dalet Amos Olo. What if a person just puts out an Eruv? He's not actually there being Kona Shvisa, Biraglav, or living in a house, or being, he's not being Kona Shvisa, where he is currently located, he's being Kodesh Fis with the box of matzahs. So does he get Dal Ramos in addition to the Alpayim Amo or not? So Amar Rava Tashma Lo Amru Ma'arvin Bepas Elo Lahakel Al HaAshir Shal Yetzi V'Yarev Baraglav. What do we say in the Mishnah? That where the idea of making an Eruv with food is just as a kula, it just makes life easier. How does it make life easier? You don't have to go there to be Konash Visa, just send some food in your Konash Visa, so it's a special kula that makes life easier. But V'I Amritain Lo Hai Lahakel Lahachmir Hu. But if you're going to say that if he were to go there himself, he'd get an additional 4 amos, in addition to the 2,000 amos, but by putting a box of matzahs out there, he doesn't get 4 amos, he only gets the 2,000 amos. So how can you call that a kula? It ends up being more chama for him. He gets less space with which to work, with which to walk, if he doesn't go out there himself. So how can that be called a kula? It says, well, it's still called a kula. The 4 amos doesn't make that much of a difference to him. He'd much rather not have to schlep out there and be there when Shabbos starts. It's much easier for him to just send a box of masses there than to go there himself. So it's still a kula. It's a kula on the level of convenience, even though what you're gaining in convenience, for to gain significantly in convenience, you have to give up a little bit in terms of the amount of space that you're actually allowed to walk on Shabbos. You're not going to be allowed to walk 2,004 amos. You'll only be allowed to walk 2,000 amos. This suffix, this shaila that the Gemara had of whether the guy gets dalet amos or not, Tosfos really explains the tzaddim of the suffix. Why would we say that he does get dalet amos? Why would he say he doesn't get dalet amos? So Tosfos says, the din of dalet amos, where do we learn it from? Pasuk Shmos Perek Tazayim Pasuk Chavtes Shvu Ish Tachtav. The Gemara, we had this drasha just yesterday. So the from this pasuk we learn that a person is koveya shvisa beraglav by being there. So it could be that this whole din is only when a person is koveya shvisa in that way by being there, when it's tachtav, when he is in that location. That's when you're kona shvisa. That's when you're kona the dalet amos. But someone who's shaliach to put some bread out there, where he doesn't go there with his own 2 feet, so he's not going to become a dalet amos. That's one side. Or maybe the other side is, no, the whole reason that the bread works to be kona shvisa is because we view it when you put your food out there, the food represents you. That's like you're there, and therefore it's mamish the same as being there. Just like when you're there, you get dalet amos. When your bread is there, you get dalet amos as well. That's how Tosrud explains the tzadim of the suffix. Now the Gemara had said, well, we have a raya that it's got, you got to get dalet amos because otherwise putting bread out is not a kula, it's a chumrah, because you get less space to work with. That was the Gemara's raya. How could we say it's lahakel, it's lahachmir? So Rishonim say, really, is this the only chumrah that comes out of this? If you put bread out, the only chumrah is that you get less than dalet amos. We find other places where where putting bread out, putting out an eruv, is going to be more chamur than being shoves in that makom. The Gemara is going to say on Samach Aleph and Beis that Shmuel holds that a person who's shoves bi'ir chareva in a destroyed city, he's allowed to be mahalich as kula v'chutz ala alpayim amos. He can go throughout the entire city and then an additional 2,000 amos. But if he puts his eruv in an ir chareva, he only gets 2,000 amos from his eruv. He doesn't get the whole city plus 2,000 amos. So don't you see right there? There you have a chumrah of someone who puts an Erev rather than is goes himself to be Kona Shvisa. Not only that, the Rashba, the Ritva, point out that the Gemara is also going to say that someone who's Shovis Betel Gavoa Asara, someone who's Kona Shvisa on a mound that's 10 Tfachim tall, or a place that's recessed 10 Tfachim into the ground, and it's the width of it is up until the area of Beis Hasayim, so he's Mahalich as Kula V'chutzal Alpay Mam. He's allowed to go in that whole area, on top of that entire mound, however big the surface is, as long as it's less than Beis Hasayim, or throughout that entire ditch, however big the surface is, as long as it's less than Beis HaSayim, and then he gets an additional 2,000 amos. What if he puts an Erev there? So again, says the Gemara later on in Daf Samach Aleph, if he puts an Erev there, then he only gets 2,000 amos from the Erev. He doesn't get the entire mound and the entire ditch as well. So don't you see, that's another chumrah that we have for someone who puts an Erev and a kula for someone who goes there biraglav. So why does our Gemara assume that this is the one chumrah that we're going to have of someone who puts an Eruv, is the fact that he's not going to get the additional 4 amos in addition to the 2,000 amos. These are two significant chumras we said, much more significant than 4 amos. This could be an area of ad beis hasayim. Beis hasayim is much more than 4 amos. We're dealing with over 70 amos of space that he's going to be able to gain by being there rather than by putting an Eruv there. So that's the kasha all of the Rishonim are bothered by. So the Rishonim say very, very simply, there's a big difference between the Chumrah that our Gemara points out and the Chumrah that the Gemara in Daf Samach Aleph point out. The Chumrah in the Gemara in Daf Samach Aleph is what? If you put your Erev in an Ir Chareva, on a mound somewhere, those are unusual cases. That doesn't come up all the time. But over here we're saying every single time you make an Erev with a box of matzahs instead of Biraglav, there's a built-in Chumrah. That when you make the Erev with the box of matzahs, you don't get the extra dalet amos. So that's something that's a very common chumrah. That's what the Gemara is trying to prove. That in a chinami, there will be odd cases where it may be a chumrah in one direction of the other, but still, that's what they are. They're odd cases. It's not something that's gonna be all. We could still say that being ma'ariv b'pas on a whole is l'hakel alav, comes to make life more makel for the person, more easy for the person. But once we say that every single time you put out an Erev B'pas, it's going to be a chumrah on you, that you're not going to get the Dalet Amos, so then how could we call that L'Hakel Alav? That was the Gemara's kasha. And then the Gemara's answer was, it's still L'Hakel Alav, because what you lose in the Dalet Amos and the space traveled, you gain more than that in convenience. The Rambam paskins in the sixth parak of Hilchos Erev in Halacha Yud Aleph that a kol meniach eruvo, anyone who puts out his Erev in a place where he has wherever he puts it out, he gets dalet amos. So he says if a person puts his Erev at the end of the tchum, and then the Erev rolls out 2 amos beyond the tchum, so it's still an Erev, it's as if he never left. But if his Erev rolls out more than 2 amos, so then it's not an Erev, because it's gone beyond where he's allowed to walk. If someone who's maniach Erev chutz l'tchum, it's not an Erev, because you're not allowed to go to your Erev. And when it's more than 2 amos past the 2,000 amos, that's where it's no good. That's how the Rambam paskins. So the Raiva jumps all over that Rambam. We had a machlokas earlier in Daf Mem. Hey, what does it mean, dalet amos? How do you measure the dalet amos? Hu be'emtza'an, the guy himself is in the middle of the dalet amos, and therefore he gets 2 amos in each direction. Is it that he gets to choose which way to walk dalet amos, or is it dalet amos in every direction? We have 3 shitos in Tanoim. The Rambam seems to be passing like Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that a person has dalet amos for hu be'emtza'an. That's why he measures it by 2 amos. That once it's more than 2 amos past the tchum, so then it's too late. If it goes more than 2 amos past the tchum, then it's too far, rather. But that's not correct. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that a person is allowed to be mevarer for himself where is dalet amos, whichever direction he's interested in going. So even it should therefore turn out that even if his Erev goes more than 2 amos outside of his 2,000 amos, he should still be able to choose the dalet amos toward the direction of his tchum and still be allowed to be kona the Erev in that location. So the Raiva doesn't understand why would the Rambam passing like Rabbi Lazar. So the Magen Mishnah says the Rambam is not trying to passing like Rabbi Lazar. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Yud Beis of Hilchos Shabbos clearly does not passing like Rabbi Lazar. He holds that the Dalet Amos person has is Omid Bitzidam Velo Be'emtza, and that he's considered on the side of his Dalet Amos. He can walk Dalet Amos in whichever direction he wants to go. He doesn't have to assume, view himself as if he's in the middle of his Dalet Amos. The Rambam Paskins in the 27th parak of Hilchos Shabbos, Halach Yirav, also not like Rabbi Elazar. The difference over here is the Rambam is trying to be mechalik between Din Eruv and Din Tiltul, says the Magen Mishnah. So what does that mean, Din Eruv and Din Tiltul? So the Chazon Ish explains that the Magen Mishnah is trying to be mechalik between a person who's Konash Visa Baraglav or goes outside of his Tchum. In that case, Rabbi Yehuda would say, if you're Konash Visa Baraglav, or you went beyond your Tchum, so Rabbi Yehuda would say, you could be Borer for yourself, choose for yourself which side you want to take your Dalet Amos. As opposed to a person's Kona Shvisa, not by being there, not by walking past this, person's Kona Shvisa by putting out a box of matzahs, putting out pas, putting out bread, then even Rabbi Yehuda would be modet Rabbi Eliezer that the Dalet Amos is Huba Emtsa, and is divided by evenly of two Amos to each side. So the Chazon Ish says that where did the Magen Mishnah get this idea to be mechalik this way between Konash Visa Baraglav versus Konash Visa Lali Dei Pas? But that's the way he understood the Magen Mishnah, that you see that being Ma'ariv Bepas is not more chumra than being Ma'ariv Baraglav, but from the Magen Mishnah understands that it is more chumra. So the Chazon Ish doesn't know where the Magen Mishnah got this idea that it's so much more chumra that you're not going to have the leeway to define your Dalet Amos. But just because the Rambam Paskins, you only get two Amos over here, the Hubam son over here, doesn't mean he's going to say that in every case. Okay, weiter in the Gemara now in Mishnah. Says the Mishnah in Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, Mishi Yatzal Leilich Be'ir Shema Arvin Bav Hichziru Chavero. Person wanted to go out, he started to go out, he started his journey toward the city that he made an Eruv to be able to go toward that city. The city is outside of his Tchum Shabbos, but with the Eruv, he's within his rights to go to that city. And then his friend said, no, come back home, don't come. Mm-hmm. So, Huma to Leilich v'kol b'nei Yair Asurin Div Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, the fellow who started to go, even though everyone in the town was intending to establish residence in between the two cities so they can go to the other town, but they don't actively go out at all. He was the one guy who was on the road already, and he began to walk to the other town before Shabbos began, and then he came home to his original city. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, he can walk to the other city on Shabbos, the other people of the city cannot. Now keep in mind, this is not talking about a place, a situation where they actually put an Erev there. They didn't actually put out bread in the area between the two towns to be Kona that Erev. It was with having in mind, it was being Kona Shvisa by saying, I'm intending to be Kona Shvisa in that location. We'll see in the Gemara exactly what he did. Did he speak? Did he just have in mind? But something like that. There was no box of matzahs that he put out there. So the guy who already started the trip, he gets to be Kona Shvisa in between the two cities, and he's allowed to complete the trip later on Shabbos if he wants. He can come back to his city, go sleep the night back in his city, and then go back out tomorrow, the next morning, on Shabbos morning, and walk all the way. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shitra. Meir Omer, Kol Shu Yachala Arev Lo Irev, Hareza Chamer Gamel. Rameir thinks that all the people are limited by the chumra of the tchum of their city and the chumra of the tchum that they wanted to establish. Meaning, they have the worst of both worlds. They cannot go, if the city that this fellow started to walk to was 4,000 amos west of the city that they're in, then they're going to have to assume that they have zero amos east that they're allowed to walk. They're going to have to assume that they have an Eruv klape the going east. But they're not actually allowed to walk 4,000 amos west, they're only allowed to walk 2,000 amos west. They take the chumras in both directions. They have to assume the chumra, ki'ilu they have an Eruv that's out there, and ki'ilu they don't have an Eruv that's out there. That's chumra gamal, that's Reb Meir's shita. The Gemara will explain what exactly, or if there is some sort of suffix. Normally, when do we say chumra gamal? When you have a suffix, you're not sure where your Eruv is, you're not sure where your makom shvisa is. So we say, okay, you gotta be machmir. So we'll see in the Gemara what Reb Meir's shita really is all about. about. But first we focus on the Reisha. We said that a person is about, a person was heading on the road, and he was called back last minute, so he's allowed to go the rest of the road tomorrow, but no one else in the city is allowed to go. So Maishna Ihu, Maishna Inhu, what's the difference between him and them? Why should it make a difference that he's allowed to go and they're not allowed to go? Amrav Huna Hacham Ayaskinon Kigon Shiesh Lo Shnei Batim Ubeinei and Shnei Tchumei Shabbos. That the case is that he has two houses, one in each city, and there's two Tchum Shabbos between the two cities, meaning there's 4,000 amos of space in between the two cities. Ihu kivan de nafak leilu urcha havalei ani v'hani ashiri ninu. The difference is very simple. He started to walk, and therefore, when Shabbos started, he was an ani. An ani is allowed to be kona shvisa without doing anything, just by saying, I verbally declare that I want to be kona shvisa in that location. Everybody else was still home. They were home with pantries full of food. They were ashirin. He's on the road. He's an ani. So that's the similar to the halacha that we have ma'achilinas ha'aniyim d'may v'sa'achsanya d'may. That when a person is traveling and he's a guest, even if he's not really an ani, back home he has millions of dollars, but he's an achsanya, so ma'achilinas d'may, we give him d'may. Why? Because right now he's an ani. If he doesn't have access to his money, then that makes him an ani. He could be the richest man in the world, but if he has no access to any of his money, that used to be an ani. Rav Shechta told us that he used to walk to Rabbi Gorelick Shul when he was in YU. They used to walk sometimes to the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha. Rabbi Gorelick was a very exciting speaker, so they'd walk all the way to the Bronx on Shabbos. And then after Shabbos, Rabbi Gorelick would go to the Pushka, he'd take out money and he would say, here, take money for a cab. And they said, Pushka, we're not aniyim. So, well, now you're aniyim. Where's your wallet? You walked on Shabbos. You don't have a wallet here. So you're an ani right now. So they would always pay back afterwards. But at that moment, you're an ani when a person is traveling. So a person is considered an ani. So this guy is traveling. He's an ani. The rest of them are ashirim back home. Tanya Nami Achim, Bryce says just like this. Misha Yesho Shnei Batim, guy has two houses, Ubenei and Shnei Tchumei Shabbos, and in between the two cities where the houses are located is 4,000 amos. Kivin Shehichsuk Maderech, Kone Erev, Div Rabbi Yehuda. Once he starts out on the road, so he's Kone Erev, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. He's considered an Ani. Yes, sir, Al Kain. So, but then the Bryce adds another Shita. It's not mentioned in the Mishnah, that Amr Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Afilu Matzo Chaveru Va'amrlo, Linpo, Eis Chamahu, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda goes even further and says that if your friend calls you back, says, why would you travel now? It's too cold, it's too hot, it's too this. Come back. So you go and you sleep the night back in the city of origin, you're allowed to go back out the next morning. So why is that Yeser Al Kain? What's Rabbi Yosef Yehuda adding that Rabbi Yehuda didn't say? Isn't that exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said? That when you started to travel and then you decided to come back, you're allowed to go the next day. You're Kona Erev. What did Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda add that's Yeser Al Kain? In some ways more lenient than Rabbi Yehuda. So Amar Rabba, Rabba explains as follows. Lomar kuli alma lo pligi ditzarech, ki pligi lahachzik. Everyone would agree that he has to declare that he wants to be Kona Shvisa at the 2,000 Amma mark in between the two cities. The whole machlokas is, does he need to actually be machzik baderech? Does he have to need to actually start his journey? Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, he has to have left, he has to have begun his travels. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he just has to have planned on beginning to walk. He didn't actually ever have to begin to walk. He just has to declare his desire to be Kona Shvisa in the space in between the two cities and plan to walk, but not to actually do it. Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef says, no, lahachzik tukleu mel pligi ditzarech. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda say that he definitely has to begin the travel. Ki pligi lomar. The machlokas is, does he actually need to say anything? Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's kula is that he doesn't even need to say that he's intending to be Kona Shvisa at the 2,000 mark. That happens automatically as he begins to travel. That it's an umdana that we see from the fact that he's walking, that obviously that's what his intention is. He doesn't actually have to say that that's what his intention is. So, Kaman Nazla Hadam Rula Mish. So who does the following statement go like? When Ula says, someone who starts traveling and his friend says, come back home, so he's considered muchzar u muchzak. So muchzak means that it's as if he's back home, and therefore he's kona shvisa with the people in the city. Muchzak is that he's hechzik bederech, and he's kona shvisa on the road. So that doesn't make any sense. Im muchzar lama muchzak, vi muchzak lama muchzar. What does that mean? It's a stira. Being muchzar means that he still has the tchum shabbos of the people in the city. Being muchzak means he has the tchum shabbos to be able to travel 4,000 amos to the second city. So hachi kamar. Now this is what he means to say. Afal pisha muchzar muchzak. It means even though he went back home, he's still muchzak with the tchum that he's allowed to go to the city the next day. Keman Rav Yosef alibed Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. That's assuming like Rav Yosef alibed Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda that we allow him to walk even if he never verbally declared anything, as long as he was hechzik bederech. Right, that was the point. Ula said Misha hechzik bederech. He never said anything. All he did was he started to travel. That's all you need to do, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So, what's the ukim? So, again, just to quickly review, we said that according to Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, a guy started to walk on Erev Shabbos, decided, "Nah, I'll walk tomorrow." Comes back home, so he gets to walk the next day 4,000 amos to the place where he wanted to go, but no one else in the city is allowed to do that. What's the difference between him and everybody else in the city? So the answer seemed to be that he's an ani, they're ashirim, because he started on the road, so he's an ani, they're an ashir. But the Gemara added another detail also that we sort of brushed over. Sheyesh lo shnei batim, that he has two houses. He has a house in that city and a house back in his city at home. Why does that add to the case? Why do you need to say that he has two houses? If the point is that he's an ani because he's on the road, so what does two houses help him? Adrabba, two houses should make him more like an ashir. No, if he has houses in multiple locations, rather than make him like an ani. So Rashi, and Daf Nun Aleph and Beis, Dibur Maskal Hanach, in the first biur of the sugya, and the Rashbol say that had he not had an additional house in the Ira Smucha, we would say that he was Chazer Bo Midaito, that he changed his mind, that he decided not to go out on Shabbos from the place where he lives, where his house is, and therefore he would still be considered a Ben Ha'ir. It's only because he's not so firmly entrenched in one city that we say that when he's on the road, he's considered like someone who's on the road, and he's not still considered like a Ben Ha'ir, which would hold him back and leave him with the Tchum Shabbos of that city. Other Rishonim, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Iri Ran, a whole group of Rishonim say, you know, had he not had a house in the Ira Smucha, we would say that since he was Chozer Lebeso, he's considered to be like an Ashir. It's only because he has another house, and he was Oker himself from the house in this city, that's why we view him like an ani. Meaning, if he only has one house, so we know where ultimately he's headed back to. It's not really an akira from that house. He's still considered to be like he's in his house, and therefore he would still be considered to be an ashir, because he would still be considered like he's in his original location. But since he has another house in the other city, we think he's serious about leaving the house in the first city. If he's serious about leaving the house in the first city, then we could view him as an ani right now. The Rambam, in the seventh parak of Hilchos Eruv in Halacha Ches, says that Hu kana sham eruv sharei hu baba derech v'niskavin lishvosham v'hechzik baderech. He says nothing about having shnei batim. He says he just leaves that qualification out entirely. So the Magen Mishnah writes that the Rambam must assume Rav Huna doesn't mean to say that he has to have shnei batim. It's telling us that it's common. Why would he want to travel from one city to the other city? That's just the most common case, that he must have another house in the other city that he's trying to travel to. But the reason he's kona shvisa and he's able to go to the Ira Smucha is because Hechzik Baderech, and once he's Hechzik Baderech, he's an Ani. But having Shnei Batim is inconsequential over here. It's not an important factor at all in our Gemara. Okay, weiter in the Gemara now. Three lines from the bottom of the page. Rabbi Yehuda bar Ishtasa, Aisila Kalkala de Piril Rav Nassim bar Oshia. He brought a basket of fruits from Nassim bar Oshia. Keva Azil Shavke Adonachas Darga. When he was about to leave, Rav Nassim bar Oshia allowed him to walk, to go until he started walking down the ladder out of his apartment. Amalei Bayisacha Bishacha Lamachar Kadim Vazil. And only once he started walking, he said, "No, why don't you spend Shabbos here? Stay here, and tomorrow you'll be able to walk home." Why did he wait till he started walking? because he knew that if he starts walking, then he's hefsek baderech. He'll be able to be to be konish visa in between the two cities, and he'll be able to walk the rest of the way the next day. But if he doesn't let him start walking, then he's not going to be able to walk the rest of the way the next day. So he waited till he took one step down. Kiman Rav Yosef alib Rav Yosef Reb Yehuda. So it doesn't just seem to be going like Rav Yosef alib Rav Yosef Reb Yehuda. Rav Yosef is the one that understood that we allow him to walk even if he never verbally declared anything, as long as he began to walk. Hechzik baderech is all you need. So it says Mar Lo Kerabba alib Rav Yehuda. Maybe we're assuming like Rabba alib Rav Yehuda. That we're assuming like the shita of Rabba. Where Rabba was the one that said that he has to verbally designate something as his location. We even allowed the fellow to walk if he only verbally designated the residence, even though he never actually began to walk. But that would be Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabba would understand Rabbi Yehuda Shita that you need to actually begin to walk also. Remember, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda is one step more makel than Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda requires both. You have to verbally designate the place and begin to walk. So maybe we're assuming like Rabba that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda would say you need to verbally designate, you don't need to begin to walk. But Rabbi Yehuda would say you do need to begin to walk. So maybe that's what he yelled like. He yelled like Rabbi Yehuda with Rabba's understanding. Okay, Rav Meir Omer Kol Sheyachol Ariv. Then the Mishnah went on to say that Rav Meir holds that Rav Meir disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Meir holds the Chomer Gamal that you're locked in to the Chumras of both Tchumei Shabbos. So Hatanina Chaduzimna Safek Rav Meir Rabbi Yehuda raise a Chomer Gamal. Didn't Rav Meir already teach us that in the case of Safek it's Chomer Gamal that you always have to be more machmir in a situation of Safek? So says the Gemara Amar Rav Sheshes Lotem Time the Rav Meir Safek Yiriv Safek Lo Yiriv Hu Tavi Chomer Gamal Av Vade Lo Yiriv Lavi Chomer Gamal. Don't think that the reason Rav Meir holds that we're machmir in both directions is only when it's a Safek whether you made the Yiriv or not. But if you Vade didn't make the Yiriv, then we don't have to be machmir. El Afilu Vade Lo Yiriv Havi Chomer Gamal. Vade Lo Yiriv Kavi Chomer Gamal. Even in certain situations where it's a vadai that there's no eruv, still Rav Meir is going to be more machmir because of how it looks, because of a special chumra midrabanan that it looks like you even think maybe you had an eruv, something like that. So even in a case like this, it vadai doesn't work. You don't have an eruv in between the two cities. So really, you should be kibbenei iro. You should have 2,000 amos all around your city in every direction. Rav Meir is still going to be machmir that you can't go in the opposite direction of your city, even in this case where it's a vadai. Good. Next Mishnah. Mi sheyatzeh chutz l'tchuma filu ama achas lo yikanes. A guy leaves his tchum on Shabbos, even one ama, he's not allowed to come back in. Rabbi Lozer omer shtayim yikanes shalosh lo yikanes. Rabbi Lozer says, no, if he's two amos out, he's allowed to come back in. Once he's more than two amos out, he's not allowed to come back in. Once he's three amos out, he's not allowed to come back in. Because Rabbi Lozer says he gets his dalet amos, hu be'em tza'an, he's in the middle of the dalet amos, which means he gets two amos in every direction. The Rishonim, the Achronim actually, or Medayik over here, ama achas, is that literal or does that mean even 1 inch? Right, a guy leaves his tchum, afilu ama achas, let's say he left his tchum 1 inch, not a full ama. Is he then allowed to go back? So this is the Divrei Cheskel, is not sure about this. So he tries to be medayik from the Lashonos of the Rishon of the Bahag in Hilchas Erev and says that up until 2,000 amos a person could go. Someone who goes more than 2,000 amos, loke. Sounds like you don't need to go out in ama. Yosu me'apayim ama, loke. Any more than 2,000 amos, you get malchus. The Rambam in 27th paragraph of Hilchas Shabbos, im yatz adam yihirchik min yir yosem yud beiz mil, person goes more than 12 mil outside of the city, afilu ama achas lokum min haTorah. Rambam says even one ama yir lokum min haTorah. That's what the Ramban says also. The Chamor goes there, a person shnak out afilu ama achas. Sounds from the Rambam Ramban that maybe an ama is literal. Why would you say an ama as opposed to just going out? For tchumas 2,000 amas, 2,000 amas, you shouldn't be allowed to go out 1 inch more. Why would we dafka say an ama? Why would that number be significant to us? So it could be that it's based on the pasuk. We learned tchumin from the pasuk about midbar lam and heyum adosu mechutz le'ir as paas kedma al payim ba'ama. So we see that the medida of tchum And halachos of tchum are measured in amos. And when you're dealing with measurements of smaller than an amma, that's inconsequential in the parsha of tchum Shabbos. So it could be that that's what they hold. Or it could just be that yetzei, it's a lashon of yetziah, that in order for something to be called a yetziah, you need the person to leave. The person to leave would mean the space of his entire body. We assume a space of a person is one amma. That's why we assume a mikvah is one amma by three ammas tall, because that's the space that a person takes up. A sukkah is one amma by one amma, because that's the amount of space a person takes up. So yetziah, to be yotzei mitachtav, means to go more than to go out one amma, the space that a person takes up. So maybe an amma is significant, maybe it's not. Okay, says the Gemara, Amr b'chanina, raglo achas b'tochatchum, raglo achas chutzlutchum, lo yikanes. If he has 1 foot out and 1 foot still in, meaning what does it mean to go out? Does going out mean that that any part of you is out, or does going out mean that every part of you is out? So what if you have one leg in, one leg out? You're on the line. So lo yikanes, still can't go back in. D'chsivim tashim yishavus raglecha. Raglecha ksiv, that even one leg. V'atanya raglach p'tochatchum raglach schutzutchum yikanes. Aye, but we have another brisa that says that you can go back in. Haman yacherim hiditanya acherim amam makam sheruba hu niskar. That assumes like acherim is daker. That assumes like acherim that we go where rova your body is. We follow where rova the body is to determine your halacha. Yikat amri amra b'chanina raglach p'tochatchum raglach schutzutchum yikanes. Second version is that no, if you have one leg out, one leg in, you can go back in. D'chsivim tash m'sheves raglecha, raglecha karinan, in the plural. I v'atanya lo yikanes, but the Bryce says you can't go back in. Who damar kacherim? The Tanya, the Makom Sharuba, and Zaker, that he assumes like acherim that we follow the majority of his body. So this is very reminiscent of a discussion the Gemara has in Maseches Basra. The Gemara Maseches Basra, in the second paragraph of Chav Gimel and Beis, tells us that if a bird is found, a bird that does not yet know how to fly, it's a very young bird, it's still hopping, so if it's found within 50 amos of a nest, you can assume it belongs to that nest. If it's found more than 50 amos away from a nest, even though that the nest that's 51 amos away is the closest nest, you can't assume it's from that nest, because a hopping bird will never go more than 50 amos away. So obviously it didn't hop, it was dropped somewhere from a passerby, so you have no raya that it came from that nest. That's what the Gemara says. 50 amos. It goes 50 amos and no more. That's how far a bird goes. So Rabbi Yirmiyah in the Gemara Baba Basra asks the Shaila, what if the bird has one leg within 50 amos, one leg outside of 50 amos? Va'alda afkul Rabbi Yirmiyah mibei midrasha. For asking such a ridiculous Shaila, they threw him out of the base medrash for asking such a Shaila. Says Machlok Rishon, what did he do wrong? He asked a very simple Shaila. He said 50 amos. How do you define 50 amos? Is 50 amos that it has to be completely beyond 50 amos or completely within 50 amos? So one of the Shitos and Rishonim is, they threw him out of the base medrash for asking such a far-fetched, crazy question. What are the chances going to be that the bird is going to be mamish on the line? So some of the Achronim point out, very hard to assume that's why they threw him out of the base medrash, because Erev and Daphne and Beis and Beis, the Gemara assumes that we have to discuss this about a person when he's got 1 foot inside the 2,000 amos, 1 foot outside the 2,000 amos. So you have to say like the Balei Atosis over there. The Balei Atosis say different, that the reason they threw him out of the base medrash was he was trying to make fun of the Shiurim of the Chachamim. You say 50 amos, come on, is there really a difference between 50 amos and 50 amos and an inch? Is there really a difference between a kazayis and a little less than a kazayis? Meaning he was mocking the shiurei chachamim. That kol shiurei chachamim kenu. No, when the chachamim give a shiur, that's the shiur. That's what you have to, you can't start questioning. What if it's just a little bit more? That's what he was trying to do. Not that that it was a legitimate shaila of just an unusual case. The Gemara is no shortage of unusual cases that we discuss sometimes. Okay, Rav Lazar Mishtayim Yikaneh Sholosh Leikaneh. Rav Lazar says that if he's 2 amos out, he can come back in. If he's 3 amos, he can't. V'atani Rav Lazar Marachas Yikaneh Shtayim Leikaneh. But in the Brisa, we said that Rav Lazar holds that if he's 1 amah out, he can come back in. 2 amos out, he can't. Lo kasha hadakar chad v'kam atati, hadakar atati v'kam atlas. It's a matter of how we define the number 2. Does 2 mean just over 2 or just under 2? So if it means just under 2, then he's allowed to come back in. When in the Brisa, that's what the, but when the Brisa says 2, it means just over 2 amos. But we have another Brisa that Rav Lazar says even 1 ama, he's not allowed to come back in. That's someone who's stuck in the middle of nowhere, and he's got to measure 2,000 amos to see how far he's allowed to walk. So when he measures that 2,000 amos, he's got to go only up until that 2,000 amas. He's measuring by taking steps. He takes 2,000 steps and he assumes an average step is an amma, so he's not allowed to go anything beyond that. That's a special din for a modid, but that's not the din that we're talking about in our mission of someone who leaves chutz l'tchum of a city. Last mission, the parak misha actually chutz l'tchum afilu amma achas lo yikaris. Person's trying to make it back to his city in time for Shabbos, and he's one amma away from his tchum Shabbos when Shabbos starts. So too bad, he can't go back in. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu chamesh esrei amos yikaris sheina moshkos matzna samidos mnei atoin. Says even if he's within 15 amos of where the tchum is marked, he's allowed to go back into the city, because they would typically mark the Tchum Shabbos at a distance of 15 amos closer to the city than the Tchum Shabbos really is. Mipnei Atoin. Machlok Zishon, what Mipnei Atoin means. Firstly, the Gemara says, Tana Mipnei Toei Amida, because of the mistake in measurements. But what does that mean, mistake in measurements? So one lashon is that it's the people who would, Rashi has two lashons over here, that people would not who would walk wouldn't always recognize the markers that were set up, and therefore might walk a little past those markers before they chap. So for that, we put the markers in a little bit closer. Or it could be they didn't measure properly. People who were in charge of measuring just weren't that good at measuring, because they wouldn't count the space that they were holding onto the rope in the measurements. So it would come out that it was that their measurements were always a little bit off. So they always made mistakes in the measurements. Okay, Hadron Lach Mishal Tziyu Bez Hashem. Tomorrow we'll begin the fifth parak of Masechta Seder.